welcome to today's sermon time. This is a new thing that we are doing here at the Heart of Christ Church. Right now, you are viewing me as a live stream, but I'm actually in the mountains hunting. Well, I'm not hunting because it's Sunday, but probably on my way back home from that. But the one thing that we have learned is if we can record during COVID, we can record services so that we can put them out, and we don't have to have other pastors come in. So today I'd like to welcome you to our first recorded service that we have, and hopefully it will be a blessing to you. We are literally moving through the book of 1 Peter. As I said last Sunday, the Lord just has my heart enthralled in 1 Peter here, and so I'm going to be preaching through 1 Peter as we approach Advent, because I think the Lord's using it to prepare us for something that's up and coming. What that'll be, I do not know. But I know he has something in store for us. In fact, by now, most of you realize the election is done, and they're still have not determined who has won the thing yet. Of course, I may be all wet because this is being recorded on Sunday, and that doesn't happen till Tuesday. But we shall see. The reality is we are going to continue forward, because as the body of Christ, what happens in our world does not stop us from being who we are. So therefore, as the scripture tells us in 2 Peter, verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And I have to go back, because the therefore is therefore, as we all know, to get us to reflect back on what was preached, looking at the reality that we have in Christ, that we have a living hope through him, because he is alive and he is our hope. And as we have obeyed his word, therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander, what are we to do? This is talking about back in verse 22 of chapter 1, where it tells us to purify our souls for a sincere love of the brethren. Fervently love one another from the heart. We are to put aside these things, such as malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Because if we're going to become living stones, we cannot have any of the things in us that are of the world. And what do I mean by living stones? Well, we're going to get into that here in just a moment. But as we look at where we are, the Lord here is transitioning us to look at ourselves in a new way. I told you last week, God is doing a new thing. And that new thing is what he's about to do in and through each and every one of us, if we will submit to his word, that we love one another with a pure heart, with a pure mind, that our motives are right in him, and we cast out these things, God will do something in us that will keep us from being shaken by the things of this world. That's the title of today's sermon, Living Stones Are Unshakable. That's a pretty big introduction. But it's worthy of the word of God, because in that word we have the hope that Jesus Christ is here to change our lives. But we need to be changed by what? By the word of God. We need to understand that it is the word of God that gives us the hope that each of us have. We're told that we are to long for it like pure milk. And in that, it's coming to that understanding that when you first start in the Word, you're not going to understand the meat of the Word, because it's pretty deep stuff. It takes a lot to chew it up. And as babes in Christ, we need to start on the milk of the Word. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm 57, I'm a pastor, and I still need milk from time to time, because there are areas in my life that God is still working on that I'm not as spiritually mature in as some of you are. And you are not as mature in some areas as I am. So together we work it out. That's why the church is made up of so many different people. But if we have tasted, okay, we have come to that grace which God has given us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you have tasted that grace, and we know and understand the kindness of the Lord. And therefore, there is in store for us then something new. And that something new is becoming living stones. We're going to be looking at that from verses 4 through 12 in 1 Peter 2. Turning to verse 4, it says, "And come to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed.'" Now, there are a couple pieces here we got to break down, and we've got to go right back to the very beginning and look at the very first four words, because these first four words that the Lord gives us in 2 Peter 4 have a very strong meaning. It says, "And coming to him." And coming to him. What does that mean? That means that we have had to repent. We have had to turn from the former things of our lives. We have turned from the things of this world, and we are now turning to the things of Christ. And for many of us here, we're going to have a hard time with that, because we believe that these things of the world are okay and those things of the world are okay. But I'm here to tell you right now, if they are of the world and not of God, they are not okay. You don't have to agree with me right now. But if you continue in the Word, if you continue in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have got to turn away from the things of this world. That is simply the way it works. And coming to him, okay? You can't have one foot in both camps. That is the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation, where they were lukewarm. And we cannot be lukewarm. God wants us to be fervently seeking after him. You cannot have a foot in both camps and be saved. You will hate the one and love the other. That's what the Lord says, okay? And we need to understand that. So if we have repented, if we have turned, and we come to the Lord God as to a living stone. Now this is amazing, because we're going to get into this here in just a little bit. Because what does this living stone represent? What is it talking about, this living stone? And where does this ideology come from? Where does this picture come from? "If we come to him who is a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God," okay? "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, that we are to offer sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God." God is literally building us up with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to get into that prophetic utterance from Isaiah, because that's where verse 6 comes from. It actually comes out of the book of Isaiah. But it is talking here about us becoming living stones. Jesus Christ is a living stone. How is he a living stone? Because he is God. He is unshakable. He cannot be shaken by the things of this world. He is God. Therefore, the grave didn't shake Jesus. Okay? When he stood before the peoples and gave up his life, please understand, we did not put Jesus Christ on the cross. He went willingly. There's a difference. Do you understand me? When we force someone to do something, they're under our control. Jesus was never under our control. He submitted to our will. There's a big difference in that. Because he literally was under God's control, God the Father. And in God the Father's control, he submitted himself willingly to that sacrifice on our behalf. So when we look at this, Jesus was rock solid going to the cross of Calvary. He knew why he was here, and he went knowing it meant his death as a human being, but he trusted in the Father that he would be resurrected. How do we know that? Because it tells us so in Hebrews, where it tells us that he scorned the cross. He scorned its shame for the joy that set before him, because he knew on the other side of the cross there was gain for him and for us, that he would be reestablished with the Trinity and that we would be heirs with him through his sacrifice. So we are being turned into living stones. Why living stones? Because God doesn't want us to be shakable. God is building us upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And if God builds that building, there is no way it can be shaken. I want you to understand the imagery that's being put out here, because it literally comes to us from the book of Isaiah. This is the book of Isaiah written by the prophet. And what was he talking about? Well, as you look back, Daniel prophesied about this very thing as well. In the prophecy, Daniel was taken to the king because he had a vision of a statue whose head was made out of gold and the shoulders were silver, and then it went down to a bronze torso and then to iron legs and feet of clay. And as he looked upon this statue, he saw a stone that was hewed out of granite or a rock. Okay, but it wasn't hewn out by human hands. It was being hewn out spiritually. And this stone came and crushed the statue, breaking it into pieces. And once the statue was destroyed, which means the kingdoms of the world, the Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Grecian Empire, all the way down to where we are today, because every empire has gotten smaller. There has never been anything as they have known it in the past, unto the very clay, which is our societies today. It was all rubble, and the wind blew it away. And the amazing thing was that living stone then became a mountain. Dear brothers and sisters, that's a picture of you and I being added to the foundation of Jesus Christ. We're not a building. It literally becomes a mountain, a unity, a oneness. And it's understanding that in Christ, please remember, Jesus said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. If you are in me, I am in you. So when we think about that building that is being spoken of there, we become one with him. And it says that in the book of Ephesians, when Ephesians talks to us about the wedding of a man and a woman, that they become one. And then the apostle takes that, and he's talking about the church and of Christ, that the two become one. This is what's being spoken of here, that you and I become a part of that living stone, and that living stone becomes a part of us. We're not a stone that's set on top of it. We become a part of it. And in that reality, it says in verse 6, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. He who believes in him will not be disappointed. I can say that another way. He who believes in him will not be shaken. Okay, Pastor. Show us that. Glad you asked. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Turn to the coffee chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to verse 25. And from verse 25, we're going to read through 29. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Brothers and sisters, this is exactly what is being talking about here. We will not be disappointed. You and I cannot be shaken. Why? Because only created things can be shaken. Jesus Christ was not created. He is the Creator. And if we are in Him, we are one with Him. We cannot be shaken. Living stones cannot be shaken. Why is that important? That is important to you and I because I want you to look at everything that's going on right now out there in our society. Please remember, this is Pastor Rich preaching this sermon 1 week early. How many riots have there been? How many people have been shot? How many things are happening right now in our world and we're all running around scrambling and screaming, where's God? Where's God? What's going on? Now, if all these things didn't happen, you just now found out that, yeah, I'm all wet. But I have a feeling deep down in my soul that I'm not wet. Are you shaken? Are you ready to listen? Are you ready to believe and receive and understand? God is in control. He knows what's going to happen. None of this takes him by surprise. So don't let it shake you. Remember, he is God, not us. So today, I want you to think about how much you can trust him, how much you can know that he knows what's going on. And where are we? What are we doing? Are we worrying about this life or are we worrying about the lives of others and where they're going to be? Because our next is secure. Because we shall not be shaken. It can't be taken away from us. For we are in him. We have come to him. We have forsaken the things of this world for the things of the kingdom. And that's where we live. Even now, even though we're still here and we hear the stuff, we see it on the news, and we understand that it's not good, it doesn't have to be good out there. And God knows that. He's told us that. We've all read the book. We know how it ends. We win. But he didn't say it was going to be easy getting there. And that's where we need to put our trust in Christ. And as living stones, not be shaken. See these things, but then continue on. Because this precious value from verse 7 in chapter 2, this precious value then is for you who believe. We have believed, and that value is ours. It is us. God has valued us to the point that he has put us in with his Son. We are one with him. We are his son. We are his children. And we are in that same category. We are there with him, unshakable. Yes, this world can be shaken. It's going to be shaken. That's all part of the fall of man. Because it was given to them, thus saith the Lord. But for those who disbelieve, from verse 7, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they are. they were also appointed. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand there are going to be people out there who are going to reject Christ all the way to the end. They're going to go to hell screaming at God, telling him that he's wrong. And there's nothing we can do about it. But it's those ones who are standing off, not knowing. They're caught up in the tide. Those are the ones that we need to reach out to. They are the people that you and I need to look towards to lead them to the salvific path of Jesus Christ. And how do we know who they are, lest we get involved with their lives? Because somebody involved themselves in our life, and we got involved in the church, and the church brought us along. None of us make it on our own. God draws us all. That's part of being elect, is God's irresistible grace drawing us to him. But to those who will not receive that grace, their doom is secure, and it's spoken of here. Because they will fall. They will literally break and be shattered to pieces by the living stone, because they will stumble upon it. Look at how these people today are tearing down Christian idioms throughout the world. You know, it's deplorable to the world to be a Christian. We're the problem. We're the ones who made America great. We're the ones who raised things up. And then the government came in and took over. The government said, oh, no, well, we'll handle that. We'll handle that. And if you think I'm wrong, please look it up. Check these things out. See where this stuff started. It started in the church. The church cared for the people who were sick and weak. The church fed the people who were hungry. The church took in those strangers in the land. The church, the church, the church throughout history. Was the church corrupt? Yes, it was. Why? Because the church was also filled with sinful men. I'm going to tell you right now, every person looking at this video and this pastor looking back at you is a sinner saved by grace. And each one of us are in that category. The only difference is we've chosen Christ and we see a way out. And that way out is our salvation through his word, through his work, through his love and his provision. And we have to take it up and we have to give it to others. You are his child. You are a living stone. Do not allow the things of this world to shake you. How important is it? How much does God want you to understand this? What do you mean to him? Look at verses 9 and 10. It says, but you, say that. Don't say you, say I. But I am a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Brothers and sisters, this is God telling you who you are. You are his. He loves you. He has given everything to you, and he has even more that he wants to give to you. When we get into eternity, we're going to see things and understand things that we could never even have fathomed. But now, here in this life, God wants you to understand you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people for God's own possession. And I can hear the people on the other side right now screaming that I'm a racist because I just said we're a chosen race. And that's white supremacy because this is a white pastor preaching this message. Horse hockey! We are one people. We came from two people, created out of one. There's only one race, the human race. Stop making excuses for yourselves. Each and every one of us has the ability to pull ourselves up in the grace of God to achieve the work of God in each of our lives. If you're too lazy, sorry. Suck it up, cupcake. But if you want more than this world has to offer, if you want to know that you are more to God than you could ever be to anybody or anything else, you've got one choice to make. And that goes all the way back to verse 4 and those first four words. And coming to Him. And coming to Him. There is no other name under heaven or earth by which you may be saved. There is no one on earth, no one in heaven other than Jesus Christ who has your salvation. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, none of the other religions. There's only one where He said, I am. And then proved it by dying and coming back again. And now we wait for Him to come again and to restore all things. And I think that coming sooner than later. But brothers and sisters, you have to decide this day, are you going to come to Him? And today, if that's your choice, if you are deciding today, I want to know my life matters. I want to know the love of God. I want to know my real purpose. I want to know who I really am. Then I ask you to get down on your knees and pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Father God, forgive me, for I am a sinner and I have rejected you. But today, I come to you in grace. I come to you in mercy. I come to you in faith. And I ask you to cleanse me, to claim me as I claim you, to wash me and make me whole and wholly thine. Dear Lord, forgive my sins and let me walk anew with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to know about it. If you prayed that prayer, please hit the button. Our guys are going to see it, and they're going to get this information to me, and I'm going to respond to you as soon as I can. Because you need to know that somebody else knows. You need to know that God has heard you. God has seen you. I'm not God. I'm just a man. But I'm here to tell you, if you prayed that prayer, you are His now and forevermore. Because that prayer you prayed wasn't just for this life, it was for eternal life. Because when we are in Christ Jesus, we never die. This body may die, but this soul never dies. We will not see hell. We will live with Him forever, for we have just become that living stone. We have become a child of God, a holy priesthood, a royal nation, a people of God's own choosing. In fact, God's own people. You know, it's amazing because in the scriptures we know that God chose Israel of all the nations. God chose Israel. And in this one thing, we are engrafted into Israel. That we become part of that priesthood, part of that family, because we are adopted into Abraham. Abraham was told that he would be the father of nations. How do you think that happens? This is how it happens. Through the work of Jesus Christ, not by the hand of Abraham, not by his blood or by his seed, but by the seed of God placed in him. Which is Jesus Christ, who came through his lineage years later, but was yet before him. Because he even said of Abraham, before Abraham was, what? I am. In that statement, he proclaimed he was God. And now, we in him are his people. That's for you. Claim it. And for you, church, I pray you claim it. It is who you are. You, the everyday people who come in here every Sunday, it's who you are. God loves you. God wants you to know his name, and he wants you to know him in a very real and practical way. In verse 11, oh, this is amazing. Verse 11 through 12 ends us today. But how does he end us? He actually ends us by taking us right back to verse 4. But here's what he says. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of his visitation. So as you have come unto Christ, live in such a manner that you are one with him, that you are part of him and he is a part of you. We are to live as aliens and strangers here. In other words, the things that these people do are strange to us. Now, I think it's funny because one of our folks here, well, in fact, it's a couple, it's a whole family, you know, they came to us from Germany. And yeah, I'm talking about you, Chris. I love you. You know I love you. Phoebe, you know I love you. And some of the things we do are completely alien to them. Well, the other week we were at the mountains and Chris was telling us some of the things that happened over in Germany. I'll guarantee you some of those things were alien to all of us. And that's what he's talking about. When you are not in your own culture, you feel as though a stranger. And this world is not to be our culture anymore. We are to let these things go. Let them behind. You know, I sang part of it last week. And the things of the earth shall go strangely dim in the light and the glory of his grace. And that's what's to happen with the things of this world. The trappings of this world that everybody gets involved in. You and I need to walk away from that stuff. Willingly, wantingly. Do we need stuff? Yeah. I need a vehicle. I need a house. I need food in my refrigerator. But God will provide those things as we need them. They're not my end all of all. Okay? If it was, I wouldn't be driving around in a 2004 vehicle. All right? I'd have a 2020 that I couldn't afford and a mortgage that I couldn't afford. That's the way the rest of the world lives, right? So far in debt, that's not what God wants of us. God says, I shall supply your needs. He wants us not to be selfish. He wants us not to be gluttons. He wants us to be people of sober judgment and therefore to live in accordance with it so that as we go through this living, those who are looking at us, and this is amazing, look at how this thing ends. Those who look at us and point fingers at us and accuse us before God, accuse us before men of being white supremacists, of being racists, of being haters, of being bigots, when they stand in front of God, this is amazing because folks, brothers, sisters, and everybody else out there, when we stand in front of God, there will be no lies. Amen? There will be no lies. And they will glorify God on our behalf for what we did in their presence. Do you see that? They won't even be able to accuse us anymore, for they will see the grace of God in us, and their own doom will be secure. That's a horrible thought, because that means people are going to hell. So today, I want you to live as living stones because that's who you are, unshakable. But remember, there are others out there that are shaking in their boots right now because they don't know which way to go. We need to find them. We need to seek them out. And we need to love them into the brotherhood. We need to love them into Christ and bring them to the salvific grace of Jesus, who is our Lord. We can glory in what he has given us. Let us stand firm. Let us be the men and women of God's choosing. And let us be Christian. Even in the midst of rioting and looting, let us hold out the hand of grace and love. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the men who are back here recording this and have taken their time to bring this into being. I thank you for everyone who's out there watching this right now and for this congregation. Because, Lord God, you've given us an encouragement here that nothing can move us if we will hold fast to you, come to you, and not let go. I'm reminded of the woman at the well, Lord. The woman with the bleeding issue. She said, if I just but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. How much more so us if we hold on for life. May that life truly flow through us, Lord. Blessed be your name. Watch over us and keep us. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.